We see one theme that runs through our liturgy today, and that is that of our Lord, the Messiah. In the first reading from the prophet Isaiah, we see a prediction as were the prophecy of the one who would be the Messiah. One Well, actually, one here will have authority. He will give him authority. That is, the authority that this individual, Shebna, had, now will go fall to this Messiah. The keys of the house of David will be on Eliakim's shoulders, in any case, because it refers to the house of David, so he's a king. But here, the fathers usually tell that as a priest foreshadowing of the one who is the true Messiah. Now let's look a little bit at this term, Messiah. You also have to understand what the Jews at that time, going all the way through to the disciples of our Lord, what they understood with that term Messiah. Literally that term, the Hebrew term Messiah, Messiah, means anointed one. And there were three types of individuals who were anointed for their office. Those who were kings, those who were prophets, and those who were priests. Now in history, there are two who held all three offices. One of them is King David. The other one is our Lord himself. They were all three. They were both king, prophet, and priest. The king who ruled, who governed, the prophet who was the one who went out. He's the mouthpiece of God, as the way it's put. He's the one who went out and preached. Preached the faith, preached the word, preached. Then you have the king and the priest who is the one who administers, who is the one who, as it were, goes between the people and God. Now, the other thing we have to understand here when we look at Peter's response to our Lord's question, what they understood the Messiah to be, who was going to be the Messiah, the anointed one. Here's one, it's in the superlative, the one. And they normally regarded that one as the one who would restore the civil authority of Israel, the Israeli monarchy. So when our Lord asks, now whom do you say that I am? And they name different prophets. All come back to life, as it were. Jeremiah, Elijah. And they even mention St. John the Baptist. Perhaps now they did, Herod had just put him to death. Always come back to life again. And St. John also was a prophet. Essentially the last one before the time of Christ. He was the one, the precursor of our Lord. Now our Lord asks then, whom do you say that I am? And it's Peter, Simon, who responds, thou art the Messiah. Thou art the Christos, is the Greek term, Christos, the anointed one, the Son of God, the Son of the living God, I think. Yes. So some will say, okay, he merely meant he was the Messiah. We've come to believe that. But did he really fully understand that our Lord was also divine? One would have to think he must have understood something here because he says Son of the living God. Therefore, Son of God. Well, that would mean divine. But did he fully understand? Not really until after the resurrection of our Lord. But in any case, here is a profession of faith. And our Lord instantly responds, blessed are you, Simon, the Aramaic is Bar Jonah. Bar means son of Jonah. And that was a very common way of referring to an individual. Simon, son of John. Another way of saying the last name, as it were, you were the son of, or of the family of. It's still not uncommon in some places today. In any case, so he calls him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of John." And note what he says here. Flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you. You didn't. There was no writing here, anything. Well, yes, there would be the prophets, but you didn't receive this from natural means. My Father in heaven revealed it to you. And now he goes on to say something very strong here. Thou art, and the Aramaic term is Kephas, Peter, the rock, Rocky, the rock. And upon this rock, I will build my church. He's now promising what he's going to do after his resurrection. When our Lord asks Peter 3 times, "Do you love me more than these? Do you love me?" That's when he confers the keys of the kingdom. And that's the other key point here. The keys of the kingdom. And note what our Lord says here. He's giving him full authority. Whatever you bind on earth, meaning he, Peter, as head of the church, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Whatever he carries out, Peter and his successors, the popes, whatever decree they issue, whatever they hold bound, heaven will ratify, God will ratify. Whatever they say loosed, heaven will ratify. He is given full authority as the visible head of the church on earth. So whatever the church issues through the Pope, and it's never without the Pope, anything is done alone without the Pope is not from the church. It has to be on the authority of the Pope. But anything that's done under that authority, we are bound to accept and hold. Precisely because the Pope is acting on that authority given by Christ himself to Peter and his successors. That's what is referred to with the keys of the kingdom. He is given that authority. And we must follow that authority. Therefore, it is very important that you notice in today's, our present Pope, almost every time he gives, if not every single time, he gives a discourse or any kind of conference or talk, he always finishes it by saying, "Pray for me." In fact, he started that way, if you recall, when he was elected. One of the very first things he said when he came out onto the balcony, he asked, first he actually prayed for his predecessor, and he let everyone in, and Our Father, and Hail Mary, and a Glory Be. And then he asked prayers for himself, and he bowed over, leaned over, in silence. He asked the people for this prayer, as he was now about to undertake his authority as Christ's visible head on earth, as the Pope. And he continues to do that every time. Please pray for me. How much he needs that prayer in order to carry out this office that he has, to govern, to teach, to administer. How much he needs. It's not without coincidence that he makes that prayer. He needs it very much. And how we need to follow that authority. He is seeking to guide us all, the whole church, back to God. That's his whole purpose. And so we must look to that authority, to Rome, as they say. Look always to Rome, to Peter, to his always successors. And we have this phrase, this promise, a great consolation from our Lord. The gates of the netherworld shall not prevail against it. It will stand firm all the way to the end of time. When all seems lost, when we seem in the most, and we do now, don't we not, in today's world, the severest tempest, severest storms. But our Lord tells us, the gates of the netherworld will not prevail against it. The Holy God, the Holy Spirit will guide it through to the end of time. We need only follow. And let us do so with much prayer every day. Our Lady told us from Fatima in particular, pray the rosary every day. And that was one of the intentions for the Holy Father. who has so much need, who has so much to suffer. We must pray for him. Let us do so every day. And let us seek with our whole wills to follow exactly this authority given to Peter and his successors, the popes, that we may all be guided to our heavenly homeland. Praise be Jesus and Mary.